There's no excuse. They're not there anymore. You can smell it. You can step in it. Just don't get any on you. I'm talking about the Seattle Spirit that ain't nobody wanting the Bogart. But we're going to use it to punch a hole through the wall of stupid. I said there's also a contrast and compare component to this, and there absolutely is. If you haven't yet taken the opportunity to listen to Jason Rantz's program, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., one of the things about Rantz is he is impervious to the need to sleep, and he is just a breaking news machine. He's more investigative than your average talk radio guy. Has more of an investigative journalist streak to him, and then also his cursed youth, allowing him to stay up all night producing things like this analysis of a secret poll that apparently the stranger had a hand on. Turns out that the city council is hated. Let's start with a contrast and compare moment, side by side. The owner of a Ballard restaurant, he moved here from Honduras. Now, Q13 and Nadia Romero, they went out to speak with Jorge Castellanos because they wanted to talk immigration. They want to talk about how bad it is that kids are in cages or in detention centers, etc. They want to do that. That's the angle. But I found something else interesting what the gentleman said. He's the owner of a restaurant in Ballard.
I'm really sad for my people.
Thousands heading for the border, leaving everything they know and love behind for a hope of a better life.
There are really bad people around there, and this is why a lot of people move to.
Yes, yes. And welcome, sir. I assume that you're a legal immigrant. Welcome. I'd love to try your restaurant. They followed you. They followed you. The Honduran drug gangs are here too. They've been brought in by people like...
Don't drop that dirk dirk. Hey, don't drop that dirk dirk.
They're allowed to do business here because of people like...
In the city, we have no plan.
And feckless former Republicans who used to have the staunch support of the Republican Party like...
Our incarceration rate in the state of Washington is among the 10 lowest in the United States.
And they've moved here. The Honduran drug gangs that you fled, who ruined your country, who destroyed your land, they're here now. Now, are they going to take over? No, we don't do that in America. But look at your streets. The wall is stupid. Contrast and compare. We honor a Honduran immigrant. Become an American citizen. We'd love to have you on board the legal way. We ignore all around us the fruits of the labor of the drug criminals. And yet, the average Seattle citizen is not aware that the cartels are here, but this polling. So-called progressive activists spent $20,000 on a poll to gauge support for the referendum campaign for the tax on jobs. It did not look good, but they moved forward anyway. There is now information in a private poll. Apparently, the stranger got a hold of this. The favorability ratings for the city council in this area are about 40%. Job approval rating, 20 to 30%. The Trump approval rating in Washington State, it's about the same. The Seattle City Council has just about the same approval rating as the president in a state that, because of King County and the madness here, it leads so far to the left, it's falling over. But there's holes in the wall of stupid, because you know what people are starting to notice? They're starting to notice the real mayors of Seattle.
Amazon is ISIS.
They're beginning to understand people like her are the real mayors of Seattle, and people like this are the real mayors of Seattle.
That is an act of war to invest in white supremacy and terrorism with this bomb.
They're starting to hear things, even subliminally. I don't think most citizens here hear this actively. They hear it in the background or they sense it. The state director of education talking about the fact that if a teacher's allowed to carry a weapon, they're going to start shooting each other.
She will have domestic violence, homicides in schools because there's guns there.
They're starting to feel it. They can see it in the cities. They can see the tents. They can see the human excrement. They can see the needles. They can see the traffic. They can see that. They can sense the other things. But Jenny Durkin, she's going to go march in the Pride Parade.
The hardest thing sometimes is to come out
It's that fear of not having acceptance. And I think that's one thing that Pride Week shows, is there can be acceptance at every level, and that you can be who you are, do the work you do, and still thrive and survive.
No, you can't. Not if you don't want to celebrate gay marriage. You can't. Not if you don't want to attend. You can't. I was just talking to a colleague the other day who's a gay man. And he talked about the 20-year process of no longer having to be bullied to be gay. I think we're largely past that. In this area, we're fully past it. And ain't nobody being bullied for being gay here. Right? And on the occasions that it does happen, it's a rarity. And it has to do with people being nutty, insane, stupid. It's not organized and it's not prevalent. And it's frowned upon in every circle of society. It's frowned upon. But Mayor Jenny, people are starting to notice that thing you're doing there. That's a dodge. That's a dance. That's a bit of kabuki theater, isn't it, Jenny?
Don't drop that duck a duck. Hey, don't drop that duck a duck.
You know what you're doing because you have no accomplishments to point to. Did I say contrast and compare moments about the wall of stupid? The poll. City council's approval rating is low. Job approval rating, 20 to 30%. So as Jenny Durkin flies off to Texas and goes to the wrong camp, by the way, in Texas, apparently, the infrastructure in our city.
It's closed last night at 8 o'clock.
Closed what? The Spokane Street Bridge? The lower bridge to West Seattle? Closed?
It's closed last night at 8 o'clock. It's going to be closed for a week. Emergency repairs. A routine inspection revealed they had a hydraulic fluid leak. You're going to have signs for detours where you need to go.
Now, you remember that bridge got stuck open. Do you remember this? In West Seattle, the bridge got stuck open and they left it there. You could, I don't know, is it still there? You remember the city saying, we don't have money to replace the Magnolia Street Bridge. We're going to have to figure something else out. But we have money for everything under the earth. We have money for illegal immigrants and legal aid. We have money to paint intersections pretty colors. We've got money for that. We've got money for Jelly Jerka to send out emails telling her staff to read the Jonathan Blitzer at the New Yorker and the New York Times. For her to send out to her staff and city employees that you can contribute to the ACLU Foundation, and you can. She's using her role as mayor to drive donations from the city to the ACLU. We've got money. We've got time for that. We've got money and time to build government-funded heroin dens. We've got money and time to ban straws, but to give away hypodermic needles to drug addicts. We've got time for that. And the polls show, even though smug, liberal, rich Seattle doesn't know the details. They don't know there's Honduran cartels here. They don't. They don't listen to shows like this. They don't consume political feeds that are not sanitary from NPR. That's not what they do. They don't get their hands dirty with information like this. They can sense it. They know something's wrong. So for us, our job is to take programs like Drugs, Inc., okay, from National Geographic. Your job this weekend, I'm going to ask you to do something. Find the Drugs, Inc. program about Seattle. I found it on YouTube. I found the episode on YouTube. Post it to your Facebook page and say, wow, I didn't know this. It's not political. Nothing Republican about the National Geographic. Point out the part. Hey, did you know there's Honduran drug cartels coming here? A police officer says so. That's dangerous, isn't it? Will you do that this weekend, please? In fact, tomorrow, I'll get the link. Tomorrow, I'll have it available on the program. So you just text us. I'll send you the link. You post it to social media. But just do it like, look what I found. We're going to punch through this hole in the wall of stupid together. We'll do it together. See that there? That's a bump of music. That's really good for a young man who's making his way in the radio business. Made a stunning error. Well, they call it out in the air. First time ever. Just because it was a funny one. Now he has punishment tomorrow. Young Tom, gonna sing. Smells Like Seattle Spirit. the karaoke version on Facebook Live tomorrow to atone for the sin of screwing up the clock. Because gosh knows I'm completely flueless. I never make any mistukes. Not a single mistook ever made on this here radio program. Mistake-free, right, Tom?
You're the best.
Oh, young man's working hard to earn his way back. Let's crush up some myths.
They're persuasive.
500 million Americans lose to their jobs.
Pernicious.
The debate is settled.
Preposterous.
The whole island will become so populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I know they speak French there, don't they?
Actually, I'm her husband.
That's why they're so fun to puncture every day.
But this, obviously, with 93 million people a day, it's just something.
Just check 93 million. Did you mean to say 93 million? That's a big number. Are you sure?
93 individuals a day.
93 individuals.
A day.
On Progressive Myths.
A day.
Crush.
A day. Let me add a day. 93 a day. That's pretty much 93 million. In a million days. So, were you wanting to have another reason to stop using Amazon.com, were you? How about this? You know the Smile program from Amazon.com? That's smile.amazon.com, where your purchases can go to nonprofits of your choice. We used to do that for a church, smile.amazon.com. Some of the percentage of the purchase is donated to charities. They have signed up with a little outfit to screen these charities. It's a little outfit that has $477 million in total assets, $132 million in contributions on one of its most recent tax forms. It's an increase of $140 million in total assets over the previous year. $90 million of these dollars are held in the Cayman Islands. It's a little outfit that had put Dr. Ben Carson on a white supremacist watch list. Now, I checked twice. He's a black man. They're the ones who, I think, didn't they put Rand Paul on that list too? They just paid a massive, well, relatively massive, like a $3 million settlement to someone that they erroneously called a practitioner of hate. And they're operating now funds in the Cayman Islands. The myth of the Southern Poverty Law Center is biggest myths in all of politics is that this is not a money-making enterprise. The myth of the old Southern Poverty Law Center that was born of bravery. It was born of bravery to call out true and actual hatred, true and actual hate groups, has metastasized into this absolute cancer. They just paid $3.375 million to the Quilliam Foundation and its founder, Majid Nawaz, because they labeled Majid an anti-Muslim extremist. If you'll recall, and I guess you could maybe guess this by the name, Majid Nawaz, he's actually not against himself, and he's not an extremist against himself, and he's not an extremist against his family. He is someone who has, in fact, made real contributions to the discourse of promoting pluralism and condemning both anti-Muslim bigotry and Islamic extremism. Am I reading that? Yeah, from where? From the apology that the Southern Poverty Law Center was forced to issue with its nearly $3.5 million. They'd also at one point labeled as an extremist Ayaan Hirsi Ali. Remember her? Born in Somalia, fled to the Netherlands to escape the forced marriage. So Amazon.com has now signed up with these guys to review charities for them. So they will be going through and removing certain charities that meet, in their eyes, the label of hate groups. The greater myth here is the myth, progressive myth, beyond just the myth about the Southern Poverty Law Center is this. That it is the hatred of the right that is gaining power and gaining status. That's that. Maybe there's people on the right who are hate-filled, and maybe they're getting some status, but that comes from the media. The media bestows that. The media, on the other hand, hides the hatred of people like Sam Levine. You heard about Sam Levine? Sam Levine is a so-called professor, an adjunct professor, and a game designer at the New York University's Tisch School of the Arts. He's the little feller who put together a database of ICE employees and distributed it. It got into the hands of Antifa, who, of course, are correctly labeled domestic terrorists. It's gone around the web so people can dox Nazis. Because, as you know, if you work at ICE, you're a Nazi, clearly. And now there are publications that have stepped up to publish this. And they're bemoaning the fact that Twitter actually deleted, not deleted, but suspended their accounts for a couple of days. And I'm actually not going to say the names of the publications because then people are going to want to rush to the publication. So this guy is paid money, taxpayer money, to propagate actions like this and hatred like this. He's not alone in that. Someone who works for the Trump administration by choice. Young woman by the name of Allison Herbar, this from the Daily Caller News Foundation. She is one of the so-called activists who is screaming bloody murder at the Homeland Security Secretary, Kirstjen Nielsen, who came out of a Mexican restaurant. She's the one who was calling her a villain and a Nazi. She actually spoke to the press. This woman works for the government, works for Trump, hates Trump, thinks Trump's a Nazi, but draws a paycheck from him. And it's not like she needs the paycheck, I'm guessing. She went to Swarthmore College. Tuition there is 50 grand a year. Attended a charter school in Arizona. She spoke to the Washington Examiner. This is a quote. If you see these people in public, you should remind them they aren't. They shouldn't have peace. We aren't the only ones who can do this. Anyone who sees Kirstjen Nielsen at dinner, anyone who sees anyone who works at DHS or ICE at dinner can confront them like this, and that's what we hope people are inspired to do. Okay, so here's what she is saying. If you don't like her politics, get in her face. Her name is Allison Herbar. I'm not saying this. I don't want you to do this. She does. She says right here, if you don't like my politics, I want you to get up in my face. You should remind me I'm not going to have peace. If I'm at a Mexican restaurant, go do that. Oh, by the way, she posts during work hours, too. On your time, on your money. And to the left, who is calling out right-leaning hatred? These people are employed. These people are keeping their gigs. And if it's good for Kirst or good for this young woman to do this to the head of the Homeland Security Division, then it's good for her to have it done for her. I don't want to see that. I don't. I'm asking you not to do it, sincerely. But she's asking you to do that to her. Confused young lady. All right, we'll continue on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. I'm going to wrap up the border discussion because I'm done with it. I'm done with it because I want to concentrate on the things we can change and the things that matter. We'll keep track of the vote, etc. Hopefully legislation will come along that will actually get the wall and not give in, cave in at the last moment to the left's desire to continue to have some form of open borders. Because the people who run the Democratic Party, they want that. There are good Democrats who don't. There's Democrats who want legal immigration done well, but they're owned and operated by a group of activists who have the opposite opinion. I'm going to wrap this up by just pointing out the frank hilariousness of people who say we can't do this. I mean, we're physically incapable of doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. Some text messages, and we'll get into this next segment here. 800-465-8770 is the text message. Hey, Todd, maybe we could send every person that comes to our border a couple thousand dollars a year to stay where they came from. I think it could be a safe alternative. We just have to ask Obama how to get all that money down to them. Yes, Sound Transit is criminal. God bless you. Thanks for all you do. Stand strong, my friend. There are more of us with you than you know. Just starting to see the tip of our numbers. Thank you very much. Reason we have little interest in Washington State is because the police forces in Washington State have been castrated. Yeah, you know what? I've talked to a lot of cops who really are just unbelievably frustrated. Mark in Bellevue. Hillary's intent is a much subtler form, hard to divine to the same degree half a decade later. Oh, yeah, though, this is great. He says, Mueller divined the intent of Manafort from a phone call in which the recipient terminated in about a minute, and Manafort is in federal prison days later. Hillary's intent, though, is much subtler, hard to divine to the same degree half a decade later. Funny that. Mark and Bellevue, that's a good note, Mark. Thanks very much. You can always text the show, 800-465-8770. It's more fun to do it on Twitter, I think, because that way other people see what you're saying and we can ensue a conversation. I read the Seattle Times opinion this morning that a wall is useless and too expensive and not going to work. And I read it to be, and Melissa Santos, who does engage online, never succeeded in getting her on the show. Melissa Santos is one of the opinion writers for the Seattle Times, and she is very, very, very gracious about engaging online. I read it to say, we just can't do this. We, the United States of America, we can't figure out how to secure our border. Dang, it's just, I mean, what do we do? And it can be so easy to get down when you hear things like this. You hear people, like, make the suggestion. I have a friend of mine, Reed, and I have a cousin named Michael. And they're good buddies on Twitter now because they're both really liberal. Michael's a government employee. Reed is an artist type. Used to work with them at Microsoft. And they're really upset about my approach to the border. I like the zero tolerance. If you break in illegally, we're not hearing your amnesty claim. You can do that at a border crossing. You could do that at a consulate. You can do that at an embassy. But if you sneak into the country, we're not hearing amnesty claims. They're not happening here. Because let's stop the sneaking in. And that's been told, oh, that's inhumane. You can't do that. Well, no, we have to have a process. So now Reed had said on Twitter, oh, I'd read that there's this option of putting bracelets on kids and tracking devices, you know, like people who are on home detention have to wear. Oh, okay. Well, there's an idea instead of detention centers. That idea gets tossed out and no later than a couple minutes later, already the Democrats are saying, no, 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 we can't do that either.
But I don't think that we should go through extreme situations like Democrats were proposing last night, that we start putting ankle bracelets on these kids while they're awaiting due process. I mean, some of these kids are going to go to our schools to put it.
Worse yet, it's a Republican. No, no, we can't do that. So let me get it straight. We can't detain the kids separate from their parents. We can't detain the kids with the parents. We can't put ankle bracelets on the kids because that's inhumane. We can't build a wall because that can't be done. Everybody knows you can't build a wall. We can't do it. We did it for Mexico with a part of their southern wall. We're the greatest technology builders in history. We can't secure our border, and we're supposed to sit here and pretend that, man, it's just so hard. This reminds me of someone going to a restaurant, like someone of perfect sound mind. Like if I went to a restaurant tonight and went, damn, these spoons, devilish devices, they're so hard to use. Thank goodness we've got Mick Mulvaney to lift our spirits. Yeah, Mick is at it again, this time in a little video he put together explaining the insanity of federal regulations in a brilliant way. The president has a program underway to streamline bureaucracies. You're going to want to get this sound for your own self to play it for your friends. This is Mick Mulvaney explaining the madness of federal regulations.
If you have a cheese pizza, you make a cheese pizza, that is governed by the United States Department of Agriculture. No, the other way around. I always get these backwards. If you make a cheese pizza, it's governed by the Food and Drug Administration. If you put a pepperoni on it, that's governed by the USDA. If you have a chicken, it's governed by the USDA. If that chicken lays an egg, it's governed by the FDA. But if you break the egg and make it into an omelet, that is now covered again by the USDA. If you have an open-faced roast beef sandwich, that's one or the other. But you put the bread on top of it, it's the other one. A hot dog, the hot dog meat is governed by one. You put it in a bun, it's governed by another. One of my favorites, if you have a saltwater fish, you have a salmon, and it's in the ocean, it's governed by the Department of Commerce. Once it swims upriver, it's governed by the Department of Interior. And to get there, it has to go up a fish ladder governed by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Okay, you want to hear where to cut. Because sometimes you'll hear leftists say,
Well, I'd just like to hear you suggest someplace to cut. I think we've cut to the bone.
Or you'll hear NPR people say, fiscal conservatives insist that Washington, D.C. still maintains bloat. However, the areas to cut seem often to rub up against ideologies. Republicans, for instance, are loath to cut the military or defense spending. Perhaps now, there's your cuts. Imagine in your household, your kid comes and says, hey, can I go to a movie tonight? Check with your mom. Yeah, she said I could go to the movie, but she didn't know if you'd let me watch it. Okay, thanks for coming to me, because if your mom says you can go to the movie, I need to know what the movie is. You can watch the movie. All right, but can I talk about the movie with my friends? Son, you know our policy. Your mom makes the decision on if you can talk to your friends about the movie. Okay, then your kid goes and talks to your wife. Can I talk to people about the movie? Yes, but can I talk to a girl at the movies? Son, you got to ask your dad that. Go back upstairs, ask your dad if you can talk to girls about the movie. No one in their right mind would set anything like that up. There's your cuts. Combine the bureaucracies if we must have the bureaucracies. I'm not even convinced we need even 20% of them. All right, we'll come back on the Todd Herman Show, wrap up the day with a personal note.
Down on Main Street.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH.
I haven't said it enough lately. I get the math completely. We just had a meeting today, about the radio business and the ratings on the radio station, which are very good, by the way. Thank you for that. We cannot exist without you. It's a crazy business. If there's not enough of you, there's none of us. We're gone. I mean, these roles disappear. So if it's helpful for you to know, that I've dreamt of doing big city talk radio, since I was in my early 20s. And I did a little bit of it when I was a younger guy and took a break and made some money and back at it, but I only get to do it because of you. So thank you for your support. Thank you for sharing the show with people. It's just an honor. So thanks. On a personal note tonight, I don't know what got me thinking about it, but I got to thinking about this. You'd call it a tree fort, but it wasn't in a tree. It was, I guess, a fort, or you'd call it a playhouse, but it was not a playhouse. It was not a playhouse is like, feel forgiving, but for girls, it was a fort. My dad built me before he and my mom got a divorce. Or rather, I should say my dad divorced my mom. It was in the backyard of our house in Spokane, Washington. And man, did they make backyards then. Do you remember the immense backyards that you could have in towns like Spokane? I think now to the yard we have, and we're blessed to have a little bit of a yard, and we have a pretty big lot, but back in the day, even with a four-bedroom house, an upstairs or a downstairs, your yards you could play football in, and we did. And we lived in a neighborhood where there were no fences for most of the backyards. So we could play football through one, two, three, four entire backyards, which is well over 100 yards. My dad built this house for us on stilts, and I would say he built it for us, but my little sister didn't really use it, and it was really, I think, for boys. He built it on telephone pole stilts, and it was at least 12 feet high. He built a deck on the front of it. He painted it. I can still remember the colors to this day. I don't know why he chose white for the ladder and the deck, because that didn't last very long. Stained the wood on the outside, which was sort of a red color, and put a fiberglass roof on the top of it, slanted so the wind ran off. It had windows on all the sides, and obviously a door, a locking door on the front. It was the dream getaway for any little boy, and we spent a lot of time up there. I can remember when I got frustrated that my sister was going up. And so my dad had moved out, and I decided to take the ladder my dad had built off of the fort. So my friends and I, we hammered it off, and replaced it with a ladder that we could pull up. So therefore, the girls could not come up. And karma has a way of coming around at you, doesn't it? I'll never forget being up on that ladder. And I was making fun of my sister for not being able to come up. And my mom was out there and she was furious. You know, your friends aren't here. Your sister can come up. And so being a little jerk, I got up on the ladder and I was playing with the ladder and kind of standing on it and leaning it away from the building. And then I realized, wait, this ladder is no longer connected to the building and it is falling forward. And if you've been in those positions where time slows, where all of a sudden you're moving in slow motion, click, 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 I can feel it to this day, knowing that ladder's falling. It's coming straight forward. My mom, she didn't even think of trying to stop it. My sister and she stood out of the way, and I hit the grounds, and one of the braces of the ladder hit me right in the brace of right on the bridge of the nose, and immediately tore that open. And I was bleeding, bit through my lip, and I was bleeding. And my mom, she didn't do anything right away. I think she was a little shocked. I can remember to this day, my sister kind of laughing. And she'll deny it to this day, but and she should have been laughing. I wasn't letting her up in that fort. So got over that, put the ladder back up, and I think my mom had us reattach the old ladder. And then we developed another way to keep the girls out, but that's not the point of the story. That treehouse was a place where us boys would have pretend games of being on the bridge of the Star Trek Enterprise at a certain portion of our life. It was the place where one of the neighbors brought over the first cigarettes that we thought of smoking, and did in fact put one in my mouth and thought, "Good Lord in heaven, how does my dad smoke this?" It was the most disgusting thing I had ever tasted. And all of us kind of laughed and put those out. And later in life, it was a place where I would go up with my angsty teen friends, boys and girls. And we'd lean against the walls in there. And at that point, we'd taken the fiberglass roof and we'd removed part of it so we could go up on top of the roof. And we could lay up there and put blankets over the fiberglass so we didn't get embedded with the fibers. And we could watch the stars from the top of that treehouse. It was that top of the treehouse where I encountered my first actual kiss with a girl. And I keep saying treehouse. It wasn't in a tree. And when I moved out of the house, the fort still stood. Now, when I'd go home to visit, even into my late 20s, I would want to go out up into that fort. And then I went up with a different sense. I went up with the sense of, man, this is one of the last things my dad did at this house before he moved out. It was a structure. It was a little house in back. And it was also where I would take my portable CB radio when they got strong enough. We used to have them on the roof. We used to talk to my dad on the CB radio. I still remember my license number, CBGN 1630. And we used to go and talk at night on the CB radio, my sister and my dad and I. When the handhelds got strong enough, I would go talk to my dad sometimes in that fort, in a fort he built with his hands, and in a fort that sustained, I guess, about 20 years. And I remember the call when my mom called me and said, "I'm going to sell the house, and we're going to take the fort down. I'm going to have some people come over and tear it down." And I couldn't let it happen. I could not let her have people tear it down. I went over and we dismantled it. And instead of just tearing it apart, we took it apart piece by piece. But it was a process of almost taking apart childhood piece by piece. And remembering the bridge of my nose and remembering burning myself when we put ropes up to slide down in my hands. And I could see the faces of my friends. I could see the face of the first girl I ever kissed in that fort. And I could see the care my dad took when he put it together, because it was really hard to take apart. And he built it solid, and he built it strong. And he built a foundation on it, too. Sometimes you think about the foundation in life and the way it manifests. And those little things that, as a kid, you don't really appreciate what they really mean. My dad built me solidity just before a divorce. This is the Todd Herman Show. We air every weekday, 3 to 6 p.m. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Be well, be strong, and be kind.